We are going to be looking at the at fear and what God's word says concerning fear. But I want us to have a clear understanding that there are different types of fear. Amen. Praise God. God desires that everyone that is his child have a reverential fear of him. And there are a lot of promises to the people of God that have a reverential fear of him. Praise God. And having a fear of him means that we honor him, we respect him. And yes, we have a reverential or holy fear of him. Amen. Praise God. We're going to briefly look at a couple of the scriptures. One of them was read this morning, actually, praise God, about the blessings of those who fear God. And the word, in one of the words in the Bible for fear is yare, Y-A-R-E, accent over the A and the E. And it means to have a reverential fear, to be afraid of. Amen, Almighty God. Always keep in mind that even though we have a fear of God, God wants us to not only have a fear, but also a love. When you have fear and love coupled together, it brings forth obedience. Remember that fear and love together will manifest in obedience. Praise God. Let's quickly turn to Psalms. This is going to be a teaching this morning. Psalms 115. This was one of the scripture readings this morning. Praise God. Psalms 115 in your Bibles. We're not going to read it all. We're just going to look at a couple of scriptures there. I'm going to start at verse 11. Psalms 115, verse 11. And this is what the word of the Lord says there, the promises for those who fear him. Can you say amen? Ye that fear, say fear, the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. It's promised there. We who fear God, he is our help and our shield. Amen. Verse 12, the Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. Talking about those who fear him. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear. Say them that fear. That fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more. Say more and more. You and your children. This is a promise to those of us who fear God. In verse 15, ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Now these are covenant promises or blessings to we who fear God. Amen. And those are good blessings. Amen. It's a lot, says a lot right there. Amen. Now look at Psalms 111, and I'm going to read verses 5 through 10, because the fear of the Lord is also the beginning of wisdom. Amen. He hath given meat meaning food. He has given meat unto them that what? Fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. To who? We that fear him. Amen. He has showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. Covenant promise. Heritage of the heathen to those that fear God. The works of his hand are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. Verse 10. Let's read it together. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Amen. So having a reverential fear of the Lord has many, many promises and blessings. And I mean, the word of God is just full of the importance of having a holy fear of God. And we're right here at verse 100, chapter 112 in Psalms. Praise ye the Lord. Bless the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that what? Feareth the Lord. That delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. These are promises. Verse 3, I'm not going to read it all. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Now, that says a lot. And don't have to raise your hand. How many people want wealth and riches in your house? Amen. Amen. Well, God tells us how to have wealth and riches in our house by having a holy, reverential fear of God. He tells us how to have wisdom by having a holy, reverential fear of God. Amen. It's a good thing to have a holy, reverential fear of God. You know, we still need to understand that there are different faces or there are different sides of fear. There's the fear that we are to have of God, but there's also the fear that, and we're going to talk about it a little bit later, that we're not to have. Because God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. But he wants us to have a holy, reverential fear of him, a holy respect where we honor him. You know, when I think about that, I think about, and I'm sure, you know, most of you can relate to it as well. As a child, when I was probably about 4 or 5, the Holy Ghost brought this back to my remembrance. I hadn't thought about this in, gosh, I don't know how long. I can remember that I learned to have a reverential fear of my parents at an early age. I can remember when I was about 4 or 5 years old, because I know it was before I had started school, elementary school, that if I talked back, I immediately from my mom got a tap on my lips. And I might not have even understood what I was saying, but I learned really quick. And if I did it again, if I asked something out of order, something I should ask, right on the mouth. And that taught me to have a reverential fear of my mom. And I had it of my father, too. Now, I knew that my parents loved me. I had no doubt about that. I knew that they loved me. But yet I had a fear, a reverential fear, not to do or say certain things, not to talk back, not to even ask certain things. Amen. You know, as I was preparing to what I remember, as I got older, I can remember that my parents had certain guidelines for us. When we would go out to play, we had a home that had a driveway in the yard. And sometimes we start out, we had to play in that driveway. And if we went outside of that driveway, we reaped the harvest of disobedience. And that harvest was punishment or beating. Then as we got older, we were able to go out, maybe play dodgeball and, you know, with some of the children in front of our home. Got a little bit older. We could go up the street, you know, so we were given, you know, more privileges. But even with those privileges, God, you know, expects us, we're talking about God now, to have still a reverential fear of him. My parents expected us to have a fear of them. And so if we were not in the house, we better be in before dark, with dusk. Let me say that. Not dark time. Probably when, you know, the lights better not have come on. We had better be in that house. If we weren't in, I don't care what the excuse was. I don't care if somebody, parent, had called us in to do something. Somebody else. What did your parents say? And then we would receive punishments, or we wouldn't get out to play, or we'd have more chores to do. Or sometimes we got the beating and the punishment. That caused me, anyway, a serious fear of my parents, of disobeying them. And I'm thinking about, you know, I was probably a teenager at this point, you know, playing dodgeball, you know, or baseball or whatever. We played out in the street most times, and as we got older, we could go a little bit further. So that if we can have a reverential fear of our parents, and children should have that, then how much more should God's children have a reverential fear of him? Amen? Just because we have a fear, you know, of our parents, it doesn't mean that they don't love us. Doesn't mean that we don't love them. As a matter of fact, it causes us to love them more. Because it shows that they love us. They're concerned about us enough to care about disciplining us and care about protecting us. So when God teaches us in his word the importance of having a holy reverential fear, he wants us to know that he always has our interest. He always has our back. He always has the best for us. Amen. Praise God. So when he has laws and commandments and rules and so forth, it's not to try to get something from us. It's to help us become the men and women, the children of God that he desires and knows that each one of us needs to be. You know, as a child, you know, we want to do certain things because we see other people doing it and other people's parents will let them do da-da-da-da. But if we truly have godly parents and parents that love us, then they're going to have certain regulations and rules for their children. Amen? And the child will, you know, may not fully appreciate it then, but as we get older, we will. I was telling one of my sons this week, you know, I just thought about it, how I felt that my mother was very, very strict. But I told him, you know, that I had the opportunity to tell her before she went on to be with the Lord many, many times that I was thankful for the way that she had rules and regulations for me. I didn't necessarily appreciate it then because my friends or, you know, some of the people I associated with, they were able to stay out, do this and go here and go there and everything else. But I was not. And a lot of times I was mocked and laughed at and made fun of. Well, you can't do this. Well, but I'm so glad now. Amen. Praise God. You know, so the same thing with God. You know, when God has commandments for us, they're there for our good. They're there for our well-being. And he wants us to have a holy, reverential fear of him, but also to have a love. And if we can have it for a man or a woman, how much more should we have it for our God? Isn't that right? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Another type of fear, other than, you know, the most important, I believe, is having that holy reverential fear of God, is that we learn also at an early age certain things not to do. You don't put your hand or your body, you don't go through fire. If you go through fire, you know you're going to be burned. You're going to be hurt. If you jump off of a tall building, you know, maybe a splatter. You know, so there are certain things that we should have fear of. You don't steal or rob because there are consequences. And other things, the list can go on and on and on. So it's good to have that type of fear. So we're talking about basically three types of fears this morning. Amen? And the fear that we're going to focus on primarily today is God says that he does not want us to fear. Not talking about the two that we just briefly talked about. But he does not want us to fear the things that are coming on this earth and on this world and already are here and will yet come. He doesn't want us to be fearful of what people might say or even, you know, may try to do to you. He wants us to have such a relationship with him and his word that we come to the place that we realize who we are in Christ Jesus. And what he has already done for us. Amen. We're going to look in the word of God this morning. And we're going to see what God's word says about not fearing. He says, don't fear. Amen. Got a clear understanding of the other two fears we've talked about. Amen. But he also says, do not fear. Do not fear. Turn to 2 Timothy. And this was also a scripture reading this morning. And it's also in your bulletins for scripture memory verse this week. So I encourage you to turn to put it to memory first. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Praise God. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And you found it. Can you say amen? Praise God. It's also in your bulletins. Amen. Praise God. Let's read it together. For God have not given us the spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and of a sound mind. So God's given us a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. The enemy tries to bring fear on people, especially the people of God, because he knows if he can get God's people to start fearing, that they will not go forward. Fear stops you from doing what God has called you to do. Fear brings torment. Fear brings depression. Fear brings anxiety. Fear brings sickness and disease. It brings so many things. And God does not want we, his people, to walk in that type of fear. Amen. Praise God. Can I hear you say amen? If you believe that, amen. He does not. And you know, in situations and circumstances in life arise, and the first thing, you know, the bombards the mind, what if and what if? And that's fear. God wants us to cast those things down and go to his word and speak what his word says instead of the torments that come to the mind. Amen. Why? Because most times when those thoughts, tormenting thoughts come, not to say the situation isn't very real, but a lot of times it comes so that we can't move forward, but also so that you begin to say what the enemy says, to say what the devil wants us to say rather than what God's word says. The enemy wants his people, God's people, to fear because he knows that if we don't, then we're going to use the sword of the spirit. We're going to use and speak the word of God. And what does the word of God do? It puts him on the run. It defeats his plan and his will and his purposes for your life and my life. So God's not given us a spirit of fear. And we're going to see in the word of God that he has given us something that has been kept from many in the body of Christ. But you're going to see it today. Amen. Praise God. The word of God says in 2 Corinthians, you don't have to turn there. Chapter 2:14, thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory and always causes us to triumph. Say always. Always. Not sometimes, but always causes us to triumph. Now, either we believe the word of God or we don't believe the word of God. I choose to believe the word of God. It's not about our feelings. The word says he always causes us to triumph in the Lord. How do we know that? Because Jesus Christ has already paid the price. He's already gone to Calvary. Well, and why did he go there? So that we could be victorious. So that we could triumph in this life. We know that we triumph in heaven, but he's concerned about us triumphing in this life over whatever issue comes. Amen. Praise God. And the way we do that is because once we become born again, God comes and dwells on the inside of us. And he's there for many, many purposes. The Holy Ghost is there to lead us, guide us, direct us, to teach us, to empower us, and so much more. So much more. Amen. Turn to Colossians, because I want you to see it. Turn to Colossians in your Bible, chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. When you found it, could you say amen? He say, praise God for his word. Amen. Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to be reading starting at verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiment of the world, and not after Christ. You know, so God's giving us a warning here. You know, don't listen to men. Don't listen to the world. You know, don't listen to what people say unless what they're telling you lines up with the word of God. Just because, you know, somebody says this or does that, is that what God's word says about the situation? God doesn't want us to be deceived. He wants us to follow him and follow his word. Verse 9, for in him, talking about Jesus, for in him dwelleth all the fullness bodily. And ye are complete. Say, I am complete. In him. Amen. So Lord wants us to know that we are complete in Jesus Christ. For ye and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and powers. Now we are complete in him, and Jesus is the head of all principalities, and he is the head over all powers. Then what should that tell us? That he's given us authority over these things, over these beings. Amen? That's why it says in 1 John 4:4, greater is God in us than he that is in the world. Greater is he in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Verse 11, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. In other words, when we become born again, our hearts are circumcised. There's a heart change because Christ comes in the person of the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of us. Amen. That's the type of circumcision we see. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. Amen. So when we're baptized in the Christ, we are baptized and we are raised in him. When we're baptized in water, fully immersed, then that's a type of being resurrected in him as well. Verse 13, and ye being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, that's talking about before born again, hath he quickened or made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So when we become born again, and we ask God for forgiveness, and everything, you know, is washed away. We're cleansed. Amen. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Amen. And having spoiled, this is what Jesus did for us, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now that should let us know we don't have to fear. When we come to the full understanding, but if you grab hold of who we are in him, that he is inside of us. God is in us. God is in us. Say, God is in me. And he dwells in me mightily. And I do follow him and not the flesh or the world. Amen. It's a choice that you and I make every day. He's in us. The God, think about it, the God of the universe is in us. And therefore, we're already triumphant, but we've got to choose to walk in the finished work that Jesus paid at Calvary's cross. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And it's time that the body of Christ does just that. Amen. Praise God. And not fear. God does not want his people to fear. Amen. When we realize that he is already inside of us. He wants us to realize that we are to reign in this life by Jesus Christ. We're to rule and reign. You know, you think about kings and queens. What do? I'm talking about in the earth. They rule and reign. You know, think about a king or queen. Oh, well, they can get what they want. They can do what they want to do. People have to obey them. Yeah, right. But God wants us to grasp the magnitude that we are greater than them. And that's a fact. We are greater than any leader on this earth, unless it's another born again sister or brother in the body of Christ that happens to be maybe a president or a king or a queen or whoever. Because we are in him and he is in us, and he's already given us the authority and the equipment and what we need to rule and reign in this life. And if that's the case, he says, fear not. We don't have to fear. Amen. What is in your life or what may come or what you might think may come. Amen. because he's already taken care of it at the cross. I want you to see this. Turn to Romans 5. It's just one scripture right quick. Romans 5, 17. We're going to read it together. Praise God. When you found the key, say amen. Let's read together. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned, by one much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Okay, everybody there? Romans 5, 17. So what it's saying here is that if by one man's offense, that's talking about Adam, death reigned by one man's disobedience. Isn't that right? Everybody knows that, right? Amen. Then the word of God goes on saying, how much more they, talking about we who are born again, receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, shall we reign in life by Jesus Christ? We received the abundance of grace when we became born again. So God wants us to realize that we are to reign by him in this life. Many people think, you know, well, when we get to heaven and come back, we're going to rule and reign. No, he wants us to start ruling and reigning now. This is preparation time. This is training time. This is the time to go forward. But many of God's people are being destroyed for lack of knowledge. Those that get the knowledge, some are just too lazy to do it. And then the other thing is fear. The enemy brings fear. Well, what if I do this and it doesn't work? Or what if this? What's somebody going to say? That's not our job. That's not even our part. Our part is to obey God and do what he says do. Amen. Praise God. Well, we are to rule and reign, you know, as Jesus did in the earth. Well, you say, well, how did he rule and reign? All we got to do is look in the word. Amen. He ruled and reigned in many different ways. When he healed the sick, he was ruling and reigning over the devil. Amen. When he cast out demons, he was ruling and reigning over the devil. When he preached the good news, the gospel, and it was then he was ruling and reigning. And when we share the word of God, that's ruling and reigning. The greatest miracle of all is when somebody is born again. Amen. When somebody gets free of demonic oppression, whatever it is, maybe they're bound by drugs, bound by lust or fornication, bound by alcohol, whatever. That is ruling and reigning. Whether the person does it themselves through the power of God. As Minister Beverly the other week was sharing how she got delivered in the area of smoking. You know, there's so many different areas. Amen. And everything is not a demon spirit. Some things are just our flesh wanting to rule and reign instead of Almighty God. Amen. Decisions you and I have to make and choose to do things based on the word of God. Amen. And Jesus did it all the time. He told the devil, there is nothing in me. Nothing. Because he wouldn't yield to the temptation. He was tempted in every area, just like you and I. He didn't let fear come and take authority over him. Well, what if I don't succeed? You know, all we got to do is go forward. The success is, you know, in our hands, but it's also in God's hands. And as we obey him and do what he's called us to do, then whatever's supposed to be manifested will come. Amen. And our motives are pure. Amen. Praise God. When taxes needed to be paid, Jesus supernaturally received money. And it's time for God's people, you know, to stop allowing fear to rule, even in the area of finances. And what did he do? He told Peter, he said, Peter, you know, go and take the money out the fish's mouth. Amen. And then Peter got blessed too, because he was obedient to not argue with Jesus and do what Jesus told him to do. Now, did that make sense? No. This is ruling and reigning. Amen. And I share it with you about the coat. You know how, and I'm giving God the glory. I'm bringing on God. How, you know, he gave me one word. I had other things I wanted to do that day, had to do concerning church and so forth and so on. But I knew when he said that word where I was supposed to go. And I got, I said, okay, Lord, what is it? Where? And he said, the coat. And I got this gorgeous fur coat that's ruling and reigning for $20. But it says inside, winner's circle. And he wants us to realize that we're all in the winner's circle. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You many times are ruling and reigning, and you see how you're ruling and reigning. The enemy said, well, you can't do that again. Or that wasn't God. That was just you. He's a liar and the father of lies. And he wants you to give him the glory for what he manifests to you and through you. Amen. When storms come, when the storm came with Jesus, what did he do? He just said, oh my, you know, Lord, this is a horrible storm. What are we going to do? The ships are overflowing. Am I disciples going to drop? No, they should have done it themselves. They've been taught. But Jesus commanded that storm, the waves and the water and the wind to stop. That's ruling and reigning. He didn't let fear overtake him. And, you know, we're all guilty of it. There have been times, and I've shared with you, when Pastor Lewis and I were going to take our grandchildren to Florida, and it was a horrible, and I told myself, he said, what are we going to do? I said, I'm going to pray. And God showed me, and he said, speak to it. He showed me the thing. And as I spoke, it went back, and it disappeared. And I called him back. I said, we're going. Got on the plane. Plane was practically empty. Now, I thought it was over completely, but when we left, that thing came and did much damage after we got back home. You know, so same thing with tornado. You know, one day I was in the car, and they were, I spoke to them. And I was riding right to them, little. But I'm saying God wants us to rule and reign. Same thing, we've gone out, and I know Minister Beverly can testify. And Pastor Lewis, when you get ready to reign, take an authority over that reign. No, you don't. In Jesus' name. But we've got to start ruling and reigning in this life. Amen. You say, well, Pastor, are you always successful? No. Because there have been times I've let the enemy come and say, well, if it doesn't work, what are they going to say? That's the devil. And this is what God wants us to realize. We've got the authority all the time. And to go forth ruling and reigning. If you're at the job, you know, whatever. You have the authority to rule and reign in this life. You and I. And sometimes we'll say, well, you know, I've been speaking and I haven't seen it yet. Keep on speaking it. It'll show up. Maybe it's in the area of physical, in your emotions, or, you know, in your body. Maybe you're on medication. Thank God for the medicine. Thank God for the doctors. But thank God for Dr. Jesus. So don't just rely on that. Rely on him and believe for the day to be over the medicines. And each time you take it, plead the blood of Jesus over it. Lord, I thank you. No side effects. I thank you, Lord God, that da-da-da-da-da. Maybe doctor said, well, you know, your pancreas isn't working, never going to work. Lord, I thank you. I've got a healthy pancreas. I thank you. It functions normally. I have the right insulin. You know, find out what's going on with your body, and they speak life. Maybe some things have been passed down through the bloodline. Your heart or your back or arthritis, whatever. It's time to rule and reign and speak life. Amen. That's what Jesus did. Amen. And he's no respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of our faith. What else did Jesus do? He fed the multitude supernaturally. Amen. When there were people to be fed, he spoke to the food and the food multiplied. Amen. There have been times, I read a story about this family. This is a true story. In this family, they were Christians, and they had no food, and they had a lot of children. No food whatsoever. Their cupboard was bare. And the parents, you know, they just prayed. They wrote out a list of what they, you know, what they wanted and what they needed. And they set the table. And the children, everybody sitting there, there was not a thing, not a breadcrumb, nothing. But they set the table and they gave thanks to God, thanking him for the food, thanking him like they had a full breakfast, all the children sitting there. And as they were there, there was a knock at the door. And they went to the door and it was snowing. It had snowed the night before. And there were all the things that they had put in this list and all these bags of food. And there were no prints of a wagon or a car or feet footprints or anything. And I mean, and there are many, many stories like this. So nothing's too hard for God. But as they were putting their faith out, they were ruling and reigning. Amen. So nothing's too hard for God, but God wants us to get past, you know, that which we see and that what, you know, the world has said, and even sometimes Christians, because they have not fully understood the word of God, and they will try to say, well, that's, you're crazy, that doesn't, or whatever. We've got to make up our mind, you know, am I going to rule and reign in this life by Jesus Christ? That's what we're supposed to be doing. Amen. Praise God. Whether it's food, you know, whatever it is. Amen. The list goes on and on and on. Whether it's debt. Amen. Okay, say amen. We're going to close out. We're going to look at Luke. And we're going to see something there concerning who we are, what God has given us, and what we need to do as believers. Turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke 12. And now before I, you know, we read it, I'm just going to share, you know, a little bit. Here we see, this is Jesus talking and teaching again. And he's telling the story about this man. And this man he was teaching not to be greedy. He wants us to be blessed, but he doesn't want his people to be greedy. He wants us to know that life is not made up of the things that we have. God wants us to have things, but he does not want the things to have us. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Now, this was a parable that Jesus gave about this rich man. And this rich man had many, many goods. And he had so many goods that he began to put all of his goods, his fruits and things, in these barns. And the barns were filled. And from him working and working and putting all of his goods, storing them up. And he said, well, to his soul, he said, what am I going to do? He said, I know what I'll do. I'll tear these barns down and I'll make me some bigger barns. And I'll put more into these barns. And I'll continue to work, 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 work. And put all the substance in the barns. Now, that tells us something. Jesus was teaching us a very important principle. He said this man was a rich man, yes. He had a lot of goods. He had a lot of things, but he was not rich towards God. He wasn't concerned about doing things God's way. He was not concerned about the kingdom of God. He was concerned about himself. He was a greedy man. And to be concerned about the things of God means you're concerned about what God's concerned about. You're concerned about souls being saved. Amen? You're concerned about helping others. Doesn't mean you can't have nice things. God wants his people to have nice things and be blessed. But he wants our priorities to be right. Amen? And then so this man did this. And then he said, well, oh, now I've got all these goods. I've got these great big barns and they're all filled. He said, now I can stop working. I can just take my rest and eat and drink and party and be merry. I'm paraphrasing. And the Lord said, thou fool, this night shall your soul be required of you. And he died. Now, who had all of his goods? Not him for sure. Amen. So God wants our motives and our priorities to be right. He wants us to put him first place in every area and everything. Amen. Praise God. Look at Luke, everybody in Luke 12. Amen. We'll start at verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, Speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness or greediness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesses. Doesn't consist of what? The abundance of things which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit. He wasn't a giver. He was a taker. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all. What did he say? A little bit? Did he say a portion? He said all. So he was greedy. All my fruit and my goods. He was not a giver. He was not one that recognized God's giving to him. God had given this man health and strength. He'd given him everything he had, whether he realized it or not. Verse 19, and I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. In other words, this man wasn't thinking about God or his purposes or his plans or his will. He wasn't a tither or a giver. He was just thinking about me, 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 me. Verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take what ye shall eat, neither the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment or clothes. Consider the raven, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barns, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowl? Think about that. Doesn't God take care of the birds? Doesn't he take care of the squirrels? He takes care of everything. Amen? They don't go to work. They don't have a bank that they put things that they're, you know, everything's taken care of. And God says we're more important than them. Amen. How many agree with that? Verse 25, and which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? Anybody here can make yourself taller? Now, ladies, we can if we put on some heels, right? But we can't. If we take those heels off, we back to the same height again. Amen. So Jesus says, and which of you taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be able to do that thing which is least, why take thought of the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not. You don't see them trying to, you know, take the little leaves and try to water themselves or shade themselves, right? They're not toiling. They spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory, and Solomon was a wealthy, wealthy king, was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather he tells us what to do. Major key. Major. But rather seek ye the kingdom. Say kingdom. Of God. And all these things shall be added unto you. Now, this may be revelation for some. Kingdom. The definition of kingdom is royalty, rulership, reigning in this life, reigning in a realm. We're in this physical earth. That's what it is. The Lord is saying to we, his people, that we are to rule and reign in this life by Jesus Christ, by God on the inside of us. And some, you know, today may hear this word saying, yeah, right. Well, I choose to believe God's word. Amen. There have been times, you know, that I have ministered to people myself. And sometimes they have passed and gone on. Most times, you know, they got their victory. Now, whether they maintain it or not, you know, that's that, you know, they have things to do too. But even though that might have hurt and when I might have did, you know, or been disappointed, that, you know, it's not my job. All I'm to do is to go and do what the word says. Amen. Praise God. That's ruling and reigning in this life. If the Lord said to do it, then we are to do it. Amen. God has spiritual laws. And in order for us to receive, we've got to move the way he says move. Operate the way he says operate. If he says we are to rule and reign, that word also means royalty. We're royalty. We're more royalty than any man, woman, boy, or girl on this earth that's been born into it. We are. Because God is our Father. Say, God is my Father. And I am the real royalty. You are. If you're born again, you are the real royalty in this earth. And God wants us to realize that it's time for us to rule and reign in this life. In the here and now. This is what he's telling us. Amen. Let's look at that again. And you can go to the Greek and you can look it up for yourself. Praise God. Verse 31. But rather seek ye the kingdom. In other words, you know, the reigning, the ruling, you know, the royalty, which we already are, of God. And all these things shall be added unto you. Doing things God's way. Fear not. What does it say? Fear. Let me hear everybody say it. Fear not, Jesus said. Fear not, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure. What kind of pleasure? Good pleasure to give you the kingdom. To give you what he has as we rule and reign. That word kingdom means same thing. Rule, reign, royalty. He's given that to us. He's made us his. The word of God tells us that. That we are his priests and we are his kings in the earth now. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen generation. We're called out for a time such as this. And God wants us to grab hold of who we are and to move in it. Fear stops God's people from doing what his word says in one way or another. And the devil has been caught. Fear, this type of fear is not of God. If he says that you are a royalty, and he does, he says that you are the one that's supposed to be ruling and reigning in this life because he's paid the price and given it to us, he's in us to help us, then we've got to go forward. Regardless of, well, I tried, it didn't work. Look, go on. It's just like a little kid starts out on a little, what is it called? A bicycle. Bicycle. And two-wheeler. And it doesn't have training wheels. Most of those chairs, some things gonna fall over. Right? Then maybe the parent will put the training wheels on it. Some point in time, those training wheels come off. And even when they come off, sometimes they fall over. But as he grows and, or she grows and learns, then they can ride that bike. Well, the same thing is true as we grow in Christ. And go forward, then we will experience more and more of the manifestations. And just because something doesn't manifest right away, we're not to give up. We're royalty. Do you think, you know, a prince or a princess, just because something happens, you know, they're going to give up? They know who they are. And we should know even more who we are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. The devil knows who we are. And he's tried to keep it hidden from the body for so long. But no more in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read 30 verse 32 together. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen. And so Jesus goes on and he says, sell that ye have and give alms. This is a spiritual key. This is how you reap. When you give, you will reap. You will say, well, I don't have anything to give. Every single person in this church has something to give. Everybody. It might be you can bake a cake. It might be you can sew. It might be that you have, maybe you have a penny. Sew that penny so you can get something back. We said, man, I have $10. Sew that $10. Because if you hold it, then you hold up the increase. Amen. We've got to obey God and do things his way. Sell that ye have and give alms. He's telling us for a reason. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corruption. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen. So don't allow fear to stop you from moving forward. I don't care what the area is. Amen. God wants us to move forward in him. Amen. And nothing's too hard for God. Absolutely nothing. And when you get your victories, share them. That encourages somebody else. Amen. And it also defeats the devil's tactics. Amen. Father, we love you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you said, fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah, that we choose to rule and reign by Christ Jesus in this life. Hallelujah, because he's already paid the price, Lord. I bind the devil. I say, devil, this word, hallelujah, will take root. And there will be a clear understanding to God's people of who we are in him and all that Jesus has already done. And each one, Lord God, hallelujah, will go forth, Lord, ruling and reigning in this life, in whatever area, all areas, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Praise God. Can you say amen?